Hello and happy Aquarius season to all of my magical mofos. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we are now officially in Aquarius season, and I'm so happy right now because I love the period that we're in. I love Aquarius season, and I love waxing moon specifically. And we're still in this waxing, aka culminating and receiving period. It's when the moon's light is getting bigger, or it appears bigger because it's, you know, becoming more illuminated from our perspective on Earth until the full moon, which is coming up Sunday, February 9th. So for those of you in the Eastern time zone like myself, that's 2:33 a.m. Eastern time. It may be more advantageous to practice any spell work or manifestations on the night of Saturday the 8th, depending on your time zone or what works for you. But that's when that full moon is occurring in Leo. So full moons are kind of when things are coming to fruition, coming to cultivation, and we're really expressing gratitude. And then the time period after that and the waning moon is really about releasing and clearing. Speaking of clearing, I am personally grateful to move away from that Capricorn Saturn energy of January and move into February's Aquarian cards. Let's take a look at this transition from kind of the astrological and order of the Golden Dawn perspective. So we've moved out of that Capricorn ruled devil card, which we spoke about ad nauseum in January. Sorry about that, kids. The struggles are real. we may have, because of the devil card and Capricorn energy, been faced with temptations of self-sabotage, vices, and maybe these were things that popped up that we were already conscious of and that we aim to really leave behind in 2019. But they could have occurred last month kind of as a test from the universe. Like, are you sure you're done with this? And sometimes that's kind of an affirmation to yourself of, yes, I'm really done. Or even if you engage to be like, yeah, I engaged in it. It didn't feel as good as I thought. You know, thank you for that awareness. And this could have also come, these temptations or these tests could have come in the form of caving to that patriarchal workaholism that Western society and Capricorn specifically pressures us to practice. Capricorn is really kind of that more masculine energy. It's herd mentality. It's like, put your head down, follow instructions, work, work, work. And even if Capricorn season brought up some of these triggers or these tests, especially with that eclipse in mid-January, which could have brought those up or some additional challenges, there were very likely beautiful lessons that came out of this and kind of realizations and a lot of clarity on the other side. We have to remember that, at least according to the Order of the Golden Dawn and the OG Smith Rider-Waite teachings, that Saturn, you know, there's a lot of Saturn in that Capricorn ruled devil, but Saturn also rules the world card. And while it can be more common to dread seeing the devil, like, eek, not her again, when you get her in a reading, we usually, you know, most of us experience joy and relief when we see the world card. And that's why I drew the world as Betty White in the deck that I created. Because it's like, who does not love to see Betty White? It's like, yeah, it's got to be a good card, even if you know nothing about tarot. And it is, because the world is all about completion and integration and accomplishment. Betty has literally done it all at this point, and she only needs to do things that bring her joy and happiness on this earth. She literally only takes projects, goes to social events, eats, drinks, etc., things that just make her happy, because she has nothing left to prove or no need to accomplish anything other than things that just completely light her up. She's checked off everything she's desired to accomplish in this lifetime. So even if that devil Capricorn energy was breathing down our necks a bit in January, chances are that kind of like a harsh teacher or mentor or boss, it may have pushed us in some ways to get some things accomplished a la the world. So I recently did a short video on Instagram TV where I discussed the transition from Capricorn and Saturn energy of January into that Aquarius and Uranus vibes of February. And I mentioned that for some of us, that success of the world card may have been actually abstaining from overworking and pulling back, resting, being more present, especially if you tend to struggle with workaholism. On the flip side, Capricorn and Saturn may have encouraged you to organize, to prep, launch projects, you know, go to the gym, work out. If you had been delaying those things and doing those things really made you feel good, really lit you up and made you feel, you know, proud of yourself. All of the tarot kind of converse and expand upon each other. And that's what I love. It's like these cards are always in conversation. They're always evolving and, you know, moving into one another. So when we think about it, the Devil and Capricorn season followed Temperance and Sagittarius season, because Devil ruled by Capricorn comes after the Temperance card ruled by Sag. And Temperance was all about balance and deciphering when it was optimal for us to get in there, work, alchemize, and when it was, you know, more serving to step back and rest and when to receive. So that work we may have been inspired to do in that Saturn Capricorn energy to generate that success of the world, that could look different for all of us, depending on which part of Temperance you really needed to work with the most. You know, did you need to work on resting, being present and receiving? Or did you need to work on that more traditional get to work energy of, you know, getting in there, putting your head down? It's all very dependent on, you know, your perspective and your experiences. That being said, again, I am super thrilled to welcome in the Aquarius ruled star card for February, which is our first card of the month because, again, I always look at the rulings of the Order of the Golden Dawn and the Smith Rider Waite teachings in the first card that we review each month. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite, the star is this naked chick kneeling at the side of a lake, and she has a container of water in her left hand, at the receiving hand. Your left is like you're receiving, and she has one in her right or her giving hand. So she also, so there's a lot of elements in this card, and it's funny because Aquarius is the water bearer, and we see a lot of water in the star, but she also has one foot on the earth and one in the water, representing, you know, having one foot standing in and feeding that consciousness of the water energy, and the other foot really grounded on earth, you know, having that like groundedness, that connection. And the OG card, she's also surrounded by seven stars, and these seven stars are said to represent the chakra system, all of your chakras, and generating that alignment when you have like one foot in the water, intuition, and one foot grounded on earth. So astrologically, the star, as we know, it's ruled by Aquarius. So that's connected to Aquarius's ruler, Uranus. And Saturn also is a ruling planet of Aquarius, interestingly enough. So we have the like elements of Saturn moving from Capricorn into Aquarius, but Uranus really is the strong player in terms of that flow, that feminine nature that we feel in Aquarius. And, you know, like we said that it's a confusing sign to a lot of people who are not really familiar with astrology because it's known as the water bearer. That is the symbol of the, you know, the sign Aquarius, but it's ruled by the element of air. So like I said, both are present in the star card, but Aquarius is really all about that forward motion of air, but also utilizing in this card specifically the intuition elements of water. And and Aquarians are, you know, notorious for being super intuitive, very aligned, often a very spiritual sign. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, I illustrated this card as Zenobia Simmons, celebrity psychic and one badass bitch for sure. If you haven't already, check out Zenobia on the podcast episode 39. She's incredible. I chose her for this card because the star is one of the most psychic cards in the deck. Again, going back to that intuition and sensitivity of Aquarius. And the star also follows the Tower in the Major Arcana. And this is kind of a reminder to be patient because even in periods of downfall or chaos, the star is waiting on the other side, knowing that once we've learned those lessons, we can fully receive the magic and spiritual connection of the star. And Zenobia, being this, you know, very famous, very accomplished psychic, represents that to me. She's kind of there with this knowledge. And even if you're coming through a period of chaos, stress, loss, and you come to Zenobia for a reading, she's like, I'm here on the other side. And it's really having kind of the patience to work through that and be able to open up to messages from the universe and from your own inner guidance system. So for this reason, the star also is known as kind of the card of patience and divine timing. It's also a card of generosity because often in star energy, you want to give back to the collective, which is very Aquarian. You know, Aquarius is all about collective consciousness, what's best for all of us as a whole versus that, like, what's best for me, you know, take care of me and just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and forget about everyone else, which is much more Capricorn. So the star kind of once you've come into this kind of being able to receive from the star, it often inspires you wanting to give back in some way of how are you going to, you know, pay that healing forward to people in your life, to, you know, those who follow you, whatever that might be. That's very star, very Aquarian energy. I love this card because, again, after that harsh, you better work, bitch, Saturn and Capricorn energy of January, the star brings in rewards that feel like they're delivered and received in a much more organic, feminine way. And, you know, because they are connected to that air intuition and fluid motion of Aquarius. So before we go into our second card for February, I feel like it's worth mentioning the Uranus ruled Fool card as well, since Uranus, like I said, rules Aquarius. So the Fool is also all about forward motion. When we think about that as an element, you know, that air moving forward and pushing us into like the next chapter into evolution. The Fool, it's also all about possibility. In the deck I created, it's Lola, my little Pomeranian. You can probably hear her tap dancing around in the background as usual. But the Fool is all about genuine baggage-free optimism. And that's why I feel like the best representation of the Fool is not a human, but an animal. Because if you have a pet, especially a dog, you know that every time you come home, they are 1000% genuinely happy to see you. And they're free of any previous baggage. They instantly forgot that you've been gone. And, you know, if they were mad at you the night before for not playing fetch long enough, they've cleared that. And that interaction of walking through the door to your dog and being received like that is such a beautiful moment of like true source energy. And to me, that's really the energy of the Fool. So the Fool combined with the Star card is giving us a really clean, clear new slate for February. So if January 1st and traditional New Year's didn't pan out the way you wanted it to be, I totally welcome you to embrace Chinese Lunar New Year, which occurred this last Saturday, January 27th, and leave any of that baggage in Capricorn season as we move forward optimistically with the Fool, little baby Lola, and into that star energy of renewed faith and inspiration. So yeah, I'm already way more, if you cannot tell, excited about February than I was in any of the January podcasts. But let's take a look at our second card, which we pulled from our January 1st overview. So again, I always go through the month of the card ruled by the astrological sign that we're in for the majority of the month. And then I go to the cards that I pulled. I do a yearly overview at the beginning, January 1st of every year. So our February card from the 2020 overview was King of Pentacles. And for those of you who've been listening for a while or watch my Instagram live readings, you know that this is one of my favorite cards. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is this king on a throne with these like intricate robes, and there's grapes and leaves all around him. And it's kind of like these plants and flowers and all that in his garden are showing off that he is abundant AF. And he has a bull also on his throne, which historically has said to represent a connection to Taurus, because, you know, the Taurus is represented by the bull. Because Taurus loves the good life. They're very decadent. They love luxury. They're very sensual. And King of Pentacles definitely has that. Like, this king knows how to party. He knows how to live well. And his position amongst all of these flowers and vines demonstrate that he's also grounded because they're of the earth. So it's a groundedness around his success and abundance. He's, you know, definitely proud of what he's generated. He knows how to enjoy it, but he's like humble and he's of the earth. They say that this is the king you would follow into battle without even knowing what the war is about, because he just has this incredible charisma and also that energy of like, don't worry, we got this. You're on a winning team. No stress. So in terms of the ruling behind this card, the court cards have elemental rather than astrological influences, meaning that they're linked to two of the elements rather than planets and constellations, like the rest of the cards. So kings are ruled by the element of fire, and pentacles, this is King of Pentacles, are ruled by earth energy. So this king has this like fiery, charismatic vibe, but is still, again, very humble, very grounded. In Badass Bitches Tarot, this is none other than Karen Mayo, founder and CEO of Nestio, a ridiculously successful tech startup. She's been on everything, Forbes magazine, Bloomberg TV series called Tech Stars. She's on like every top 30, under 30 list from when she started. She's just one badass bitch, but also so lovely and grounded. And she truly makes her success and living life look easy. And it's just, I mean, she's one of my close friends. It's a joy to be around her. She's such an inspiration. So the fact that this is our card, our second card for February, I feel like this month is going to bring in that bling bling success, but making it feel easy and making it feel like, of course this is coming in. Like, yeah, I deserve this. So do you. The King of Pentacles seems to offer some of the rewards that the tests that we may have gone through in Saturn, Capricorn are now allowing us to receive. The King of Pentacles often comes in after that period of like, you've gone through the test, you've put some work in, and it's like, here you go. Like you're on the right path. It's kind of that sign of like, you're on the right path, baby, here you go. So I really love that we're working with the King of Pentacles in that flow of the Star card with Aquarius season. So now let me grab my cards as we look at our card of the week. King of Swords. Okay, the ultimate throat chakra opening card. I love this king too. I mean, King of Swords, King of Pentacles, obviously King of Wands is my absolute favorite because narcissistically I made that card myself because I'm very fire energy, but I love the King of Swords. Okay, so in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this card shows the king sitting on a throne looking right at you with his sword representing truth and intellect pointed straight up to the sky. Like, he's not messing around. This is a very no-nonsense king. And this king, with that air energy of swords, makes decisions very swiftly. And, you know, this card is, like I said, throat chakra, inner truth. It's also intellect and clarity. Elementally, as we said, kings are ruled by fire and the swords are ruled by air. So this is kind of a truth bomb that comes in hot and fast. In a reading, it can be a piece of information that's on the way in that you need to hear for clarity. It can also be coming into your own truth and kind of in an empowering way that helps you to evolve into a more aligned, authentic version of yourself. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Anne Nezipor, writer, producer, and documentarian known for speaking and sharing her truth. King of Swords is that undeniable delivery or urge to share your truth. I think that in this card, the secret lies within being able to do so with love and with kindness. Like, sometimes for me, when I'm like PMSing or I've done a million readings and I'm feeling tired or hungry, I can snap and deliver these truths in like not the gentlest of packages to my close friends and family. And the King of Swords, I think, reminds us that yes, it's important to speak the truth, but it's equally important to deliver these messages with grace and intuition. So this combined with trusting the divine timing of the Star card and kind of utilizing that charisma of King of Pentacles this month should make this an easier delivery and easier, these moments, having it for our week's card. We might have moments this week that we're like really compelled. We might be in a meeting and somebody is sharing something that you know is not in the highest interest of your team at work. And you're like, I gotta speak up. The King of Swords is going to kind of give you that extra strength, that little push to share that information that's going to be helpful to you and the people around you. But like I said, I'm really happy that we have the Star and King of Pentacles working with us, because that's going to make that delivery and that timing a lot more graceful and easy. To me, King of Swords is one of the most powerful cards in the deck. And like that King's Sword, this tool comes with a great responsibility to wield wisely. So it's kind of, again, knowing when, knowing how to deliver that truth. It's like you feel it intrinsically, and then it's like, okay, let me deliver this responsibly. So I think that we're working with really strong energies that are going to push us forward and help not just ourselves, but it's also offering a lot of healing for the collective with this little trilogy that we have for the week of February 2nd to the 8th. Before we head out, as always, I'll just quickly recap the cards for everyone. February is bringing us that Aquarius ruled star card, which brings us rewards and inspiration after a period that may have required some waiting or some patience. So if Capricorn season was rough for you, this card has your back. It's kind of like, you know, it was worth the wait. It was worth the work. Here you go. The star is bringing in the good stuff. This month also brings us the King of Pentacles, that grounded king of abundance and confidence that's bringing in treats for February. And this week brings King of Swords, encouraging us to activate our throat chakra and speak our truth with grace and kindness. Instagram lives are also back. I think I've been back the past couple of weeks, but I know sometimes with travel and technical difficulties, it's been inconsistent. But Instagram lives are continuing to be Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern time. If you haven't tuned in the past, these lives are a great chance to ask your own questions and get an opportunity to get a free live mini reading. You can also send through questions in advance at CardsyB. You can DM me there or on my website, badassbitchestarot.com. I'm also starting to add a lot more video content on Instagram TV, which you might have noticed. If there's anything you want to hear about, whether that's astrologically in the cards, upcoming energies, specific questions, or specific cards that you have, you know, you're kind of seeking clarity around, let me know, DM me or message me, and I will try to make sure that I focus my videos on those questions because I try to theme them around what I'm getting most of, whether that's client readings or hearing from you. I also have super fun events coming today. So if you're listening to this in the morning or anytime before 2 p.m., they are still coming up. And if you're in New York, definitely come check it out this afternoon, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Mason 10, which is an awesome gallery and shop on Fifth Avenue and 29th Street. For a launch party, they're doing a launch of their new February exhibits and brands, and one of which is Badass Bitches Tarot. So come out and see me, come out and get a deck if you don't have one. And then later this evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., I'm going to be in Industry City at Barrow's Tasting Room. It's for this incredible event, Spirited Away Paranormal and Psychic Evening. And I'm going to be there with some of New York's premier metaphysical readers, including Sasha the Tarot Diva. I love her. I just have the biggest like respect and admiration for Sasha. So she's going to be there. I'm going to be there. There's going to be incredible drinks, shopping, and of course, readings all night long. So I hope to see a lot of you there. Come check it out. Thank you so much for listening. Have a happy, happy Aquarius season. And as always, stay magical AF.